Welcome to the daily VFN Radio Highlights, where we're keeping the conversation light at VFNTV.com. Enjoy. Here we are. There is hope. We're starting to see some things stir. I believe that a prophetic word is about to be loosed over America, where the Christians are going to reboot and reset themselves and position ourselves. And minimum force will be necessary, but God will apply it to us all. That'll bring us to a point of looking up and turning to God. And if you look at history, everything started in a garden with a murder scene. Mm-hmm. So people go, this is the worst it's ever been. No, we just have media reporting every 5 seconds about how bad we are, how bad the sin nature is. There's a camera everywhere. You needed to live like you're on camera. So mm-hmm. if you happen to see me on the beach, oh my goodness. Anyway, so.
Yep. Anyway.
But there's hope. There's just hope. And I just want to encourage you, if you have not yet found a body of believers, a gathering of ones that are hearing from the Lord and desiring to position ourselves before God for this day, for this season, let me tell you, if you happen to be in the Gulf Coast region, you need to begin to come and seek out Vine Fellowship Network, this dream center that's being developed, an apostolic center to be able to be one of the foundational parts of the many parts that are in America to be able to turn the nation around. But if you can't, if you're not close geographically, you need to begin to join us virtually and join with all the virtual members that are joining us and listening and staying in tune, because we can stay together. So many different ways to connect today through VFN TV, VFN Radio, and every Sunday at 10:30 a.m. on VFN Radio, a live broadcast from a prophetic word just coming out that moment in time. From the VFN Dream Center, you need to catch it, be a part of what's going on. There's hope, but you got to get under a message of hope. You got to understand your part. When I read about Dr. Carson's book in America the Beautiful, that the consistent theme throughout his book, which is really good, but you got to get it. He concludes with this. He says, "But one of the greatest travesties is it's obviously paraphrasing it, is the economic injustices that are taking place. That you can have the same expectations of me, but you never gave me the same opportunities. That you're complaining about my economic status, but you didn't let me go to good schools. You had separate but equal going on, and all of a sudden now I was in a lesser funded school. My mother works harder probably than most other people, he would say. But still, because there was no pay, there was an unjust scale of pay, they had to live in certain, and his father just left them early on. And hard worker mother. But it put them in the economic place. In the neighborhood that they were in a neighborhood that people were treated unjustly based on the color of their skin. They were automatically stereotyped. The spirit of racism kept them in an environment that was oppressive to his friends and his friends' friends, and he lost his friends because so many people in America don't have a grid for growing up. Your neighbors are your neighbors. Mm-hmm. You shop where you shop. You don't get to pick those things. And if you just happen to be in a neighborhood where there's inequality taking place in there, that's where you got to grow up. So some people can casually go home from school, and some people got to run home from school.
Man.
Right?
Absolutely.
Concord Drive and all that. The way that we can bring justice to America is to bring give everybody an economic fair chance in our economy, which means and another thing that was brought up, I don't think he brought this up, but I thought was pretty interesting. As long as we base school funding off property taxes, then the less advantaged kid that lives inside of someone else's house,
right,
will always have a low-funded school. Mm. Oh, this is just something that came over, and I was listening to, and I'm like, that makes really good sense. I think it was, I'm just not going to. Actually, it was in Harlem. They were talking at the Apollo, I think, and they had several authors, and it's about the reading situations and some radicals and some non-radicals. I like to listen to all the viewpoints. But the truth is, as long as you base it off property taxes, that's how your books are going to be built, how your school is going to be built, and how mm-hmm. your buses are going to yeah. be there, and how security is going to be there. You know, and I'm living in some apartment building, you know, and my school's never going to be funded the way yours is funded, because you're living in some penthouse in some suburbs, mm-hmm. and mm-hmm. you know, and you're living in, I mean, I don't know if you ever watched the Discovery Channel on these houses that people buy. It's like you're living in a $1.2 million house.
Wow. Houses? Have you seen the tree houses that they have made?
Yeah.
I mean, the tree houses.
And I'm thinking, you know, so you think of, okay, a percentage off your $1.2 million house there in Southern California, you know, one bedroom house. And you're paying in school taxes there. But then you go to the Bronx, or you go to, I don't know, Patterson, or I don't know, I can't think, you know.
Detroit.
Yeah, Detroit. And it's just not there. The money's not there under that kind of, mm-hmm. And you think, the fairest thing in America, I mean, everybody has to do it, is they have to pay sales tax. Mm-hmm. And wouldn't it be cool if everybody was paying for their own education? And everybody was contributing to education. I mean, the fairest thing, I mean, I'm not promoting anything or anything like that, but it'd be cool that if, instead of lotteries, that's what we've gotten to, right? We got to lotteries. Instead of thinking, like, I don't want a sales tax, let's just do gambling. Gambling is how we're going to educate our kids.
That'll work,
you know. But even the kid himself,
sure,
would pay towards his own education. Mm-hmm. When he goes and buys his PlayStation 2, he also paid for part of that book he's going to read.
That's right.
Wow.
Or that teacher that he's going to teach him. Mm-hmm. You know, and this also relieves the burden of the homeowner, property owner, having to pay for everything in the context of that. But in turn, they would have to pay, you know, the same sales tax, sure, and help. And then more people. And if you're contributing, it's amazing when... It's amazing when your kids start to put money in the pot, how much more involved they are and how mm-hmm. it functions. But prior to them putting anything in, having an investment, have some skin in the game, as Dr. Right. Ben Carson says in his book, America the Beautiful, it just helps us out. We have a little skin in the game. Mm-hmm. He gets one comparison about how to handle medical, how to handle he's a doctor, he's a brain surgeon. Right. Can you imagine a presidential debate?
Well,
you decided, you know, you're like, okay, I'm going to run for president. You finally got enough nerve. Enough people lied to you and said you're the right person.
Right.
You know, and you're fixing to run. And next thing you know, you find out you're going to be debating a brain surgeon. Can you imagine?
You're in trouble, buddy.
You talk for 1 hour and he looks at you and just kind of turns his head sideways and the devil just attacks you going, oh my goodness. You thinking I'm supposed to do a brain surgeon. Anyway, so... He said, you know, he said, take food stamps, for example. That's what he said. That you have electronic money transferred to a card, a SNAP card or something, and he called it food stamps, and you get an allotted amount of money every month. Well, you can go that first 2 or 3 days of getting that allotted amount of money, and you can go buy porterhouse steaks, you can buy all this different kind of stuff, but you're going to suffer for the rest of that month.
That's right.
Realizing that you're going to have to think better and plan better and how to spread this food. And so you find out that particular mother will become intensely involved in how she's going to spread that finance herself out over a 30-day period. And she will buy a lesser quality of this, or she'll instead of buying all this prefab food, she'll buy flour and sugar and water or whatever, and she'll make these things and they'll eat well. But she would have thought that whole month out.
If
she has an allotted amount of money, and that that involved her in the process, she pays the consequences, or he pays the consequences, and his family pays the consequences as they blow that whole allotted amount of money mm-hmm. that month. And I'm not talking about food stamps. I'm talking about that's his analogy of it, you mm-hmm. know, Dr. Ben Carson's analogy of it, but it makes sense to me.
Mm-hmm.
And But then he says, you know, begin to think about that if we did medical the same way, you know, and that the medical expenses were given out in that same way, where everybody goes to the emergency room for everything. Right. And it's like, this is a huge bill. Nothing gets solved in an emergency room. Emergency room is about patching you up, sending you out. And if there was a lot amount of money, then we would go to one of these clinics, these medical clinics from the same hospital, to see a doctor who would help us up, patch us up, but also cure us from whatever it was. And it would cost a smidgen of what it would cost to go to the emergency room. So that individual would say, listen, we have a lot amount of money available for our medical treatment, for our family. We need to make wiser decisions with it.
That's right.
Mm.
And then all of a sudden now, people are thinking about where they're spending their money at.
Right.
But then he says, you know, then you have, you know, a child that is born and it needs prenatal care, it's premature, that insurance companies are being issued a $1 million bill for that one child. $1 million.
Wow.
Yeah. And so the insurance companies are bracing themselves, what they're doing, and everybody's taking on this huge, and you can't calculate how many babies are going to be born that are premature, how many people's not going to walk out their pregnancy right, how many people's doing things they shouldn't do when they're pregnant, and how many people just naturally end up having a child this way. Either way, every child's going to be taken care of, and they can't predict that. Therefore, they just crank up the rates. And so he talked about, and I love the fact that he's wanted to challenge these things. You know, what about, and I love the idea, let's figure out how to take care of everybody and move catastrophic things such as that, that would be a government thing. You think, well, how could that work? And he brings up FEMA. If FEMA wasn't a reality in America, insurance companies would crank our rates up so high it would be ridiculous, and they would say, you know, who's going to insure you for the earthquake? Who's going to insure you for the massive hurricanes? It's governmental. That is catastrophic disaster.
Mm-hmm.
And now, what about catastrophic FEMA in the medical arena? That helps, and he says the reason why is because now the insurance companies can begin to be regulated, and they can calculate, and I don't know what the word they use, but
it's a risk assessment.
Yeah, risk assessment. Risk. It's a very predictable risk assessment now.
Actuaries.
Yes, actuaries. And it's very predictable, and so that means they can be overseen, like your local power company's overseen, like your water company's overseen, and they can be overseen, and then it's affordable for the average American. And you know that, quote, that we said in our concept of a country, that if a hurricane hits you, if an earthquake hits you, and if a catastrophic disease or illness or terminal situation, something hits you that's considered catastrophic, that we have, what we did in our government is something set up to catch you.
That's brilliant, because that way you're
right. It's
absolutely brilliant. Now you can, like you said, hold them accountable, because now there's a risk that they can actually calculate. It takes all that other stuff that they can't calculate out the window.
Right.
And it's more fair rates for everybody.
Right. And so, I mean, I was just some things.
That's
like,
smart. That's
at
really
some
good.
Point, we got to start solving the problems. And but there is one continual thing throughout his analogy of things, you know, that is God, but also sacrifice that is going to require. This is a doctor. This is somebody that struggled through school. And I believe it was Harvard that he was going through, and the medical school after Harvard, I think it was. And he had to study from 6 a.m. to 11 p.m. He realized that, hey, I was failing this thing because I just don't, boring lectures doesn't help me.
Mm-hmm.
And he had like 7 hours of lectures a day as a doctor he had to go through.
Wow.
And he says it's like learning multiple languages at the same time.
Mm.
You know, and we haven't even perfected English, so
right.
And so what he made a strategic decision that he was just going to cut all those lectures out. But he also noticed in this evaluation prior to that, when he was making this decision, that he did well in the classes that he read. So what he chose to do, well, that's my strength. This other thing's my weakness. I can't learn that way. He decided to spend those 7 hours in reading about what they lectured about. And now look who he is today. I'm a brain surgeon who deals with a micro, neuron, whatever, in the brains. I mean, it's just down to the minute things. We got to make tough decisions. I mean, that was a huge sacrifice he had to make personally. And you've got to read this book. If you have not read America the Beautiful with Dr. Ben Carson, you need to be able to read it. It will challenge you. I think we need to start groups in your community that just take it a chapter at a time, and it'll begin to get you to think outside the box and cause you to be knowledgeable enough to be able to ask those people who are asking your permission to represent you in government intelligible questions that causes them to think about, if I'm going to go to D.C., if I'm going to go to a state capital, I need to go there with a mindset that I'm going to solve problems, not to cause problems. I'm not going there to extend problems. Mm. I'm going there to stop them. I'm going there to serve the people. And if I can't, why run for a leadership position if you can't lead? You know, and it's our responsibility as American citizens, because it's government by the people and for the people, that we need to educate ourselves in a way that, hey, at least learn from those who put the time into doing that, so we can ask intelligent questions to those that are running for office. They can respond back to us. And based on that, we can say, man, this person really gets it. They're willing to look to new ideas. They're willing to build a consensus of people. And just, it's just very, very encouraging. If you get a chance, read America the Beautiful by Dr. Ben Carson.
You've just been listening to the highlights from the daily VFN radio program, where we're keeping the conversation light. Don't forget to share it with your friends. Find out more and listen to the daily VFN radio program in its entirety at VFNTV.com or with your mobile VFNTV app on your mobile phone or device. That's VFNTV.com. VFN radio is brought to you by friends like you and our underwriters. Find out more how you can join them by giving, or how you, your business or ministry, can become an underwriter at VFNTV.com.